A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on June 4th, 2018. And this is Live Talk. My name is Chris Gandhi.
And I am Tanonoka Wande.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the countdown to the 2018 harmonized elections that will be held on the 30th of July.
To join our discussion, please call us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on 4930 and 15460 kilohertz a shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
On the internet, you can find us on voazimbabwe.com, voashona.com, and voandebele.com.
Thanks again for joining us. You are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk. This evening, we are talking about the build-up to the elections next month.
With less than 40 days to go to the polls, some parties are still holding their primary elections, while some coalitions are still haggling over how they will field their candidates.
To join the show right now, you can join us and tell us what you think about the election preparations. We are also live right now on Facebook, VOA Studio 7, VOA Shona, and of course, VOA Ndebele. Let's talk, if you wish to join the show right now, phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back. The number again, 001-202-619-2077. We're Studio 7, uhlelo Live Talk. Lamhlanje ke sixoxa ngokhetho amalungiselelo okhetho lokuthi ke kuyini elidibana lakho ingxaki elidibana lazo khona sekusele amalanga angafiki nje amachumi amane ukuthi lwenziwe lolukhetho. Yiko ke siyacela ukuthi lisitshayele ke inombolo kumbe lisithumele ama messages ku +12026192077 kumbe ku 2+12024650318 le inombolo ele WhatsApp Mr. Wande.
Nasi tiri kutarisa nenyaya dzesarudzo uyezve kuti mapato anopikisa nebato riri kutonga vari kuzvifambisa sei. Tinoda kuti titaure tinzwe kuti chiri kumboitika chii uyezve kuti zvinhu zvingaitwa sei kuti zviite nani pane zvatiri kuona. Tichanzwa kuna vamwe vekumapato akasiyana siyana vachititaurira zvavari kuita, uyezve tichanzwazve kune vamwe vanenge vachitipawo mazano vachitsoropodza kana kuti vachirumbidza zviri kuitika nezvematongero enyika. Saka tinoimba kuti nemwiwo muchatifonera muchitiudzawo zvamunofunga zvamunoona kuti tibatsirane tinzwisise zviri kuitika, nokuti sarudzo chinhu chikuru zvikuru munyika. Tinenge tichida kuti vanhu vose vaende kusarudzo vano ruzivo rwakakwana pamusoro pezvinotarisirwa kwavari, nokuti sarudzo iyi ichabudisa mutungamiri wenyika uchange ari nesu kwemakore akati wande. Saka tinenge tichida kuti tibatsirane neruzivo nezviri kuitika kuti kubva panapa zvinhu zvichafamba sei, uye zvese zvandambotaura kuti chingaitwa kuti zviite nani chinyi, sezvo papana mashoko akawanda wanda anotarisa kuzek kuti pane zvizhinji zvaisina kuita nezvira kwayo. Saka tinenge tichida kuona kuti zvinhu izvozvo ndezvipi uyezve zvingaitwa sei kuti zvifambe zviri nani. Kandi.
Yes, Mr. Wande, this year the elections will be different in a number of ways. Apart, of course, from being the first time since 1980 that we are going to have a ballot paper without the name Robert Mugabe. To join us, our first guest is Effie Dlela Ncube. Welcome to the show, Mr. Ncube.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Ncube. Like I said, this year we are witnessing one of the most different elections that has ever taken place in Zimbabwe since 1980. What are your views? What do you think is different from the usual?
Well, this election is different in a number of ways, as you rightly say, besides the absence of President Robert Mugabe, the former president, that is. You have, for the first time, the military being in charge of the running of the country, the administration of the country. You have an electoral body that was established by the Constitution of 2013. Really, it is going to be a new electoral body, so to speak, in constitutional terms. Though in terms of the personnel, it might have continued with the same people like yesterday. And then you have a situation where the police have been relegated to the backbench by the military. So they are not as active as they used to be. And then the actors, the usual actors, particularly since 2000, the late president of the MPC, Moken Tsvangirai, is no longer there. President Mugabe is no longer there, as we said. So you have had a reconfiguration of the electoral and political landscape in the country. It's going to be quite interesting, really, to see what is going to be the outcome.
Quite interesting. Mr. Wande, any contribution?
In your view, do you think that so far the electioneering has been handled in a good way, in an encouraging way, or that we still have a lot of things to learn about this process? What do you think about what has happened so far?
Yes, certainly there is a lot to learn, a lot to change, a lot to really to transform in terms of the way we handle our elections. Mm-hmm. Remember, an election starts the day after the announcement of the results. Right. Immediately we start campaigning, preparing for the next election. So we mustn't view this as the past 3 months, past 6 months or so. The preparations for the election, this coming election, have been ongoing since 2013. So we have seen the failure first and foremost in terms of the transformation of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. It has been slow in terms of transforming itself into a truly independent body that has earned the confidence of the entirety of the electorate. That's the most important thing. As long as the people of Zimbabwe have confidence in the body that is supposed to administer and supervise the election, mm-hmm. then you have gone a larger distance towards assuring a free and fair election.
Right.
But that is yet to be done.
Right.
And then, okay.
Yes.
Yes. And then the next thing that is important to learn is the hate speech. You still find a lot of the hate speech, particularly when parties split, the former leaders move towards the left or right of that particular political party. We still cannot handle the temperature of electioneering. We tend to focus on the person, attack the person, attack the person. And also what we saw over the past few months is the role of women in our electoral discourse, in our political discourse. I think it has raised a lot of questions amongst the neutral observers whether we do respect our women to the extent that we are supposed to do to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want. But that where they differ with men in terms of politics, we still can differ with them with dignity,
mm-hmm.
without denigrating them. And then another issue where we still need to learn, of course, this new mechanism that we're using, the PVR, we still need to integrate it into our own minds, our hearts and minds, to understand it, to trust it, and to be really on our toes, because when you move away from something that is controlled by human beings to something that is controlled by machines, there's a possibility of hacking. We have to build a firewall around the whole electoral process, because we are now relying on the computers. I don't know that we have put that in place. And then the police are supposed to be totally neutral. We have known our police to be activists, political activists, instead of neutral law enforcement agencies. Mm-hmm. We still have to sufficiently transform our police to earn the confidence of the people of Zimbabwe. And one can go on and on and on. It would be absurd for me to say this is going to be a free and fair election. The only way you can see that is to first have that election. After the election, we pass ZEC and other electoral actors pass the tests that they were supposed to pass. If they acted in the way that they are supposed to do in terms of the constitution and the laws of the country and in terms of the international electoral standards and norms.
Mm. Very valid points indeed, Mr. Gande. I understand we have Mr. Nick Mangwana on the line.
Yes, Mr. Wande, we have Mr. Nick Mangwana. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Mr. Mangwana, first of all, our listeners maybe would like to know if you are a candidate for the elections.
No, I'm not a candidate for the election. I'll just play my active role in campaigning and as well as going to Zimbabwe to vote. So I expect to be in Zimbabwe in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, okay. Now, we have discussed a few points with one of our guests, Mr. Effie Dlela Ncube. He's on the line right now, and he, like myself and other people, agree that this year's election is different in so many ways. Do you see any difference in this year's election compared to the previous elections?
Indeed, this year's election is quite different from all other elections that we've had. One, we have had 7, 8 elections, and then add to those some by-elections along the way. There was one constant candidate from 1980, Robert Mugabe. So by his mere absence is a difference. And then in the last 17 or so years, we've had another series of elections, and there was a constant there, Morgan Tsvangirai. Is no longer there. So we got two fresh names or more fresh names on the ballot box, on the ballot paper than we have ever had. But it's not the only difference. The other difference that we have is the attitude of Zimbabweans, the whole maturity of the political discourse is more upgraded. We expect these elections to only be contested on the ballot box, on the ballot paper, but not to be contested after they have taken place. That is to say that we do not expect too much disputation, except if somebody obviously is a sore loser. You cannot legislate against such attitude or mindset.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as far as ZANU-PF is concerned, do you see any changes? Because we understand from some people that, like you rightly said, that attitudes seem to have changed. And are we likely to see a violent free election, especially from the ZANU-PF side?
That's guaranteed. That's guaranteed, I can say authoritatively. From the ZANU-PF side, you do not expect any sort of violence or intimidation. You might have, as in all situations, that they are always here, like there are rules and people always break rules. You might have one or two people that would pray, but the courts and the law follow them like a ton of bricks, and they will never do it again, and they'll be made an example of. Because sometimes when people stray off the acceptable behavior by society, the one thing that is most needed is a deterrent. And the deterrent is supposed to be punishment for the transgression so that the rest will not do it. So should there be anybody who, because they are drunk or because they are excited or because they are under some the influence of some intoxicants or even emotion drunk, if any such a person misbehaves, we expect the full wrath of the law to follow them. Just like how South Africa managed the World Cup, despite all the talk about markings and so forth, we expect these elections to be managed with the same stricture and strictness of rules.
Mm-hmm. vamangwana pane mutauri wedu ambo angari panapa before mavuya mbini ataura nenyaya inobata kumadzimai kune vechikadzi maererano nema elections aripo iko zvino. Imimi isokuona kwenyu munoona sokuti madzimai akatwa mukana wakakwana here, kwete mukana chete asi kuti atmosphere yacho ya vakapiwa kuti vakwanise kukwikwidza, munoona sokuti zvakanyatsorongwa zvakanakawo here kuti vatange kuita zvavari kuvanhu kuita iko zvinezvi? Do you think that the whole thing was handled in a proper way? We are talking about across the political divide, not necessarily in one party. They do enough to clear the way for the participation of women?
Should I speak in English?
In any. You're welcome.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Right. This is a very tricky situation when it comes to gender parity. The Constitution made a lot of effort to accommodate that gender parity. It swung, actually, the other way in order to accommodate women's views. So because of that, automatically, women have got 50 seats out of the 210 that are contested. And women are given 60 seats which they don't contest, which they nobody contests them. ZANU-PF along the way had allocated certain seats for women before this, before the advent of the new constitution. So this constitution were protected. So how it worked was, if any constituency has got a female incumbent, it can only be contested by another female, or it could only be contested by another female. So no male could go into that constituency. Now, in this 2018 primary, that was taken off because it was seen as a duplication. To say, firstly, we've protected 66, which are proportional representation seats, and then we again duplicating and say women are protected there, it would actually make it so uneven. So that's structurally. So structurally, there is that protection which is embedded in the constitution. Now, culturally, we got a problem. Our environment, our culture, our customs, and our practice, and our attitudes are extremely hostile to the female candidate. The first thing a female is posted or sends out a poster there, the first thing that will be said is hure, or prostitute, or bitch, or any such unfriendly name. The first thing is a woman is addressing and she says something which is off. Again, it's the same thing. It's those derogatory names. Now, my wife would like to be very comfortable to see her going to address a rally full of such hostile men. No, probably not. Would I be happy to see her going on television or on social media where she's going to be attacked like that? I might not be happy because she's got the right to do so. But would I, you know, this is the hostile environment that we have from our own attitude. But it is not only the male attitude. Actually, most of the first attacks come from fellow females. If you find out what has been in ZANU-PF elsewhere, where the females have been hounded out of the party, or it has been mostly led by other females. So, to answer your question more precisely, our environment is not yet conducive for women to come out in numbers. Because if you find out, if you look at the in ZANU-PF primaries, for example, because ZANU-PF is the one who has primaries in almost every constituency, be it council, senate, proportional representation, all the way to House of Assembly. If you look at ZANU-PF candidates, which are about 2,000 plus posts, you will find that this was a very small number of female contestants. Why? Because of the same attitude, because of that they cannot walk into that pressure cooker called election field because of the attitude of the people. So we don't do enough. The only thing we can do is to try to educate our people to have a better attitude towards females. Not every female who is single is a war, or who as we would. Not every person, every female who decides to put some makeup and contest the elections, or look nice and contest some elections, is also a Because in this particular case, I'm saying, out of 210 constituencies, for example, if 20 women contested in certain constituencies, there is no way that people could go and say, okay, all women come, we pick women to put in and force to say, contest that one. People have to put themselves forward to say, I'm prepared to fight for these six. But they will not be prepared to fight if the fight becomes about their morality.
Mm-hmm. What? Before I give you a rest, Mr. Mangwana, I wanted to find out, you mentioned about the attitudes, and you sort of tried also to involve our traditions. Do you think that our traditional view towards the women is mostly to blame? Or
correct.
Or is it correct. Because we are just indisciplined as men in our society?
It's both, in that case. It's both. One, our traditions have always placed women at a lesser social position than males. So because of that, there are people actually right now who are listening who think, they are there. People who believe, who view the world that way. Also, because that is coming from our traditions, which is why, if you look into our constitution, it's very specific that customs and practices and traditions that are subjugating to the female to the female gender are deemed illegal and contrary to that constitution. It was recognizing that there are certain cultural practices that would be used as a weapon to subjugate females or our women.
Mm. Thank you very much, Mr. Mangwana. Please don't go away. We are going to get back to you shortly. Mr. Gande, I think you've got
yes,
to call down the line.
We still have Mr. Efi Lela Ncube. Mr. Ncube? Yes, Mr. Ncube, you heard there Mr. Mangwana is a ZANU-PF activist, and he says there won't be any violence at all this season, this election time. What do you make of those statements?
Well, that would be a welcome thing, but one has to ask themselves why we did have violence in the past. Was it ordered by government, by ZANU-PF, or the police or any other actors in the electoral scene? If that wasn't the case, then we cannot guarantee that there is not going to be any violence this time. If there isn't any violence this time, then it would be really a manifestation of what the opposite of what has been taking place in the past. But we will welcome that one as the people of Zimbabwe. Any election that is without violence is a great contribution to the welfare of the people. We need not fight amongst ourselves. With weapons other than just to cast your vote. Mm-hmm. And then I think I also need to weigh in on the issue of women, gender equality, to be specific. I think one of the things that we need to do is to put as one benchmark the participation of women in an election. To the extent that if they do not participate in sufficient numbers or the environment is not conducive for their participation, either because of culture, traditions and practices or violence or other attitudes from the electorate or the political parties themselves, we must not shy away from declaring that election was not free and fair. Because a free and fair election has to be free in every way, not just free from violence, but it has to be free from gender prejudice. It has to be free from tribal prejudice, from racial prejudice, from all forms of prejudice. Every person has to be free to stand up and be counted, to stand up and challenge, to stand up and campaign for a particular the public office without being maligned, insulted, and all those things. We need to treat our women with dignity, as I said earlier, because they are part of this society, not just that because they are 52% of our population, but because they are human beings with equal rights who must be respected as human beings. That is important. The Constitution has done what it can, but but the rest remains to be done by us. Hmm. Attitude change, treating women with respect, cannot be done by the Constitution. It can only set the parameters, give direction, but at the end of the day, it is the people who must do it themselves, raise the dignity of women to where it is supposed to be. There is no need for us to always resort to the sexuality of women to deal with the matters of marriage, matters of this and so forth. Why not do the same with men? If I stood up today, I won't be judged with whether on the basis of whether I'm married or not. But we always do that when it comes to women. I think we need to radically change our attitudes in that respect.
Do you think that's going to be easy, Mr. Nguyen?
It is. Yes, it is easy if you have the political will. The leadership has to be provided by the president and other elected public figures in government. The courts must set the example, and every structure of society has to do the same. To go back to the family, at family level, where the father and the mother, they have to treat their children with as equals, the boy and girl, equals, they have to send them to school as equals. No child marriages. The girl child has to treat it as equal like a boy. As long as we give them that formative level education, awareness, then they grow up with that until they are able to shape the society itself. So it can be done provided we stand up and challenge the attitudes and the barriers that are keeping women away from free participation in the political space. We can certainly do that. All we need is the leadership of the country to do so. But as you see time and again from the political parties, they only talk about women's representation when it comes to elections only. But during the course of the 5 years, they don't talk about those things. I remember after the election in 2013, President Mugabe said there were no qualified women that could include in the cabinet. That is the kind of attitude that we are talking about. What kind of qualification are you that they can't steal, probably. If you are just talking about academic qualification, then there are lots of women who are qualified. I have not seen men behaving in a way that is any different to the extent that is a positive contribution that can come from a human being. Women can handle the Minister of Finance, they can handle the Minister of Foreign Affairs, they can handle the presidency, they can handle everything. We need to begin to have those discussions, that conversation throughout the country and shape attitudes so that at the end of the day we are able to achieve what we want to achieve. Women's empowerment, meaningful participation in governance and decision making, and gender equality.
Thank you so much. To those who have just joined us, welcome to the show. Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the preparations for the forthcoming elections. And right now we have Mr. Effie Lela Ncube and, of course, Mr. Nick Mangwana. Mr. Mangwana, from what you have...
I'm here.
Oh, you are here. Okay.
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
Yes. From what we have seen on the ground, we have had, most of the parties holding their rallies. And from what you have seen from the rallies and from what you have heard from those who are promising that when they get elected, they are going to do this and that, do you still think that... ZANU-PF has the best manifesto compared to all the other parties?
ZANU-PF is the only manifesto. Who else has got a manifesto out there? ZANU-PF has got the only manifesto, and it has got it is the only party with a formula on how to transform Zimbabwe. So yes, I do agree that or believe that of all the programs and the visions that are out there, or that would ever be there out there, the vision which ZANU-PF holds, and with a vision which is asking people to buy into, is the best vision for Zimbabwe. The biggest problem has always been, which I think Mr. Nguyen alluded to, political will. If what we draft is what we wish to do, and we got enough will
to give it impetus, then we will take the country to where it needs to be. Now, I think since President Mnangagwa came into power, he has shown that. He has done quite a lot in terms of detoxifying our political environment, putting enablers there for our Zimbabwe to be an attractive destination for capital and investment, and that is exactly what is needed. Now, we might appear a bit slow to reap the results, but come on, look at where we are coming from, and we have to gain trust. Look at how ourselves, our own people, even trusting that our elections will be free and fair. So imagine how much an investor would feel, or how much cynical or skeptical are they going to be before they send in their capital. So things are going to be a little bit slow because they got this attitude towards Zimbabwe. But definitely things are going in the right direction. And the only party and the president, that is the person that is ready to take us to where we need to be, to reform our country and to transform it, is President Mnangagwa.
Okay. Yeah, some will argue that he's been there before in the past 38 years. But anyway, that's a question for another day.
No, I can respond quickly. it's a valid argument for somebody to make. So yeah. I will acknowledge that. But when you look at every transformation, be it in Singapore, be it Singapore, be it in Malaysia, be it in China itself, Mr. Deng was there with me, with the Chairman Mao. He learned from the mistakes of Chairman Mao, and he became a transformative leader. That's why China is where it is today. It had that transformational leader. We had to transition the country from where it was to where it needed to be. In President Mnangagwa, I see the man.
Okay.
That's how tine muna tifonerao. Kia tinsa kuti. Muripo ere pa runare. Tinokumbira regero kuti mamira kwenguva yakareba asi tinotenda chaizvo kuti maita mwoyo murefu. Tibatsirevo nezvamunofunga nenyaya yedu yanhasi.
Nyaya yesarudzei.
Hongu.
Nyaya yesarudzo hatisi kufara isusu nemabatirwo ari kuitwa basi zeki yakabata nematongerwo enyika. Ivo vanozvirambira vachiti tiri bazi rakazvimirira rega rinoita zvesarudzo, asi vari kuita kunge mitemo yavo vari kuudzirwa nemamwe mapato ari kukwikwidza musarudzo.
Pane zvamunofunga taura henyu.
Mamuda kuti chii?
Ndati pane zvamunofunga here zvamunoda kuona zvichiitwa nguva ichiripo panguva yasara iyoyi?
Pane vainzi vaAbraham Lincoln vekuAmerica ikoko. He defines democracy as the government of people, for people, by the people. And now, here in Zimbabwe, that is suppressing, violating the rights of the people, getting directorate from other political players, suppressing others in the game, of which is Jacques Butifaza. Yet, if you want to say we want this is the people of Zimbabwe, because if mass says we don't want this, we want that, because they claim we are following constitution, yet the constitution was drafted by the same people they are suppressing using the same constitution they drafted before. Because vakada kuti kutevedzera mutemo unokwanisa kuchinjwa nevanhu nekuti ndivo vakauyisa.
Hai, tinotenda nemashoko enyu. Asi chandingada kubvunza ndechekuti mati muri kupomera Zek mhaka yekuti iri kubatana namamwe mapato. Mukati pamufananidzo wezvamunotaura
kuti inobatana nemamwe mapato. Nekuti tinonzwa sekuti rimwe bato rikati takumbira kuti zeki iite zviri kudiwa nevanhu zvakadai, so senyaya yekunyorwa kwebepa richazoshandiswa pakuvhota. Unonzwa rimwe bato risinei nechekuita nezeki raakudayira isi riri kudayira on behalf of zeki kuti ayo zeki zvairi kuita zviri raiti zvabva kupi. Kana ini ndikataura navahwande vazulu zvinovarwadza papi zvisinei nebasa ravawande izvozvo ndo nyaya dziri kutirwadza ende unonzwa vanhu vakati taakuda kunoudza Zeki kuti idai so vamwe voti taakutonokumbirawo kuti titi hazeki iri right because ichi iri kudivi rimwe chete vari kuita chinhu chimwe chete inyaya iri kutirwadza iyoyo iri kutirwadza nyaya iyoyo
tinenge tichitika vanhu vese vane mvumo yokutaura zvavanofunga kana kusvitsa mashoko kuzeki zvino tikagozotanga kurambidza vamwe sei
asi haifani kuita kunge war of words between political parties muchinosangana pazeki yet zeki yacho iri kuratidza kushowa side and yet again they claim they are an independent board ipapo hazvisi kutibata zvakanaka ruzhinji rwevanhu
aiwa tinotenda
vebato rezvido zvevanhu remdct alliance harizvisi kutibata zvakanaka nemamwe mapato anopikisa
aiwa tinotenda namashoko enyu ndinofunga vamwe vari kuzvinzwavo vachatiudzavo zvavanofunga pamusoro pezvamataura
Yeah, so Mr. Ncube, Mr. Efidlela Ncube, from your analysis as an analyst, what do you think we can attribute to the seemingly, you know, not so violent march towards election?
Well, the fact that you have had a change within ZANU-PF has contributed to some attitude change. President Mugabe hasn't been driven out of power. New people came into power, the military and others that were not in the military. That has contributed, as I say, to the fact that the police are no longer in the forefront as they used to be. And also the fact that ZANU-PF is also trying to consolidate power within itself. That, in my view, has taken temperature down a bit, some degrees. The third thing will be the fact that those that used to do violence might think that they win this coming election. Because there is a tendency to rely on violence if the election result is feared to be close. When you think that you are going to win, you do the things peacefully, some intimidation here and there. It might be that the opposing side that or the side that is used to doing violence thinks that it is going to win the election. But also, I think they realize that used to do violence against the people of Zimbabwe that the international community is not going to budge even a single inch in terms of investing in the country. They will not invest in the country as long as the election results are contested, particularly because of violence itself. So they are trying the best they can, probably, to ensure that there is no violence. But violence is not the only thing that contributes to an election outcome that is not representative of the people's will. It is the way the laws are crafted. The fact that the diaspora vote is not there is itself denying the rights of so many Zimbabweans, millions of Zimbabweans who are supposed to cast their vote. They are told that they have to come back to Zimbabwe from wherever they are in the six continents to register, come back to vote here. And this, what is surprising and sometimes really infuriating to a lot of people is that the people that are telling the diaspora that are the very people who created that diaspora through the mismanagement of the economy, through intimidation, serious gross human rights violations. So an election for it to be free and fair, it requires much more than a peaceful environment. Everything has to enable a free, fair, credible election. And I'm afraid that not everything is contributing to that. The caller has just alluded to some of the issues that, as a Zimbabwean, he has issues around. ZEC has to earn the confidence of the people of Zimbabwe that it is going to run an election the way the Constitution requires, the way it is required in terms of international standards and norms. As long as that is not the case, then the election cannot be free and fair.
Thank you so much for your contribution. Please do stay on the line. We have the leader of an opposition political party called Mtwakazi Republic Party. His name is Mqondisi Moyo, and he's joining us live on the radio. Welcome, Mr. Hello.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, brother. Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, before we get into the crux of the matter, would you tell us about, we understand you had an issue with the ZEC today. Can you give us details on what happened? We understand it's something to do with your party symbol.
Thank you very much, my father. Yes, we had a press conference today explaining to the world, to the whole world, of what has happened to us as MRP, where Zeki 2 weeks ago told us that we are prohibited to use our symbol, whereby as a part, since the formation of MRP in 2014, we've been using an elephant as our logo. It happened that 2 weeks ago, we went to ZEC offices for some inquiries, which had nothing to do with the symbol. That is when some ZEC officials, Mr. Ncube, who is the one who is the officer for Bulawayo province, told us that an elephant is not allowed to be used by any of the political parties as their symbol. And in this regard, it affected us as MRP. Now, you cited that they have got the powers as ZEC through the Electoral Act, whereby they are allowed to announce that some symbols are not supposed or allowed to be used by the political parties. And in this regard, it happened that an elephant fell in those animals that Zeki, I mean, Zeki does not allow the parties to use.
Just hold on a second there. Why would they say there are animals which are not allowed, especially this elephant? Is there any other party with it, or they don't want any party to have that elephant?
It is so interesting as you ask that question, because according to Electoral Act, I think it's Chapter 2 of Section 46, if I'm not wrong, they say Zeki has got powers to inform whosoever wants to use a certain animal. As long as that animal falls under the prohibited animals, they've got the powers to tell that political party to stop using it. It doesn't specify that an elephant or this and that animal. It just says an animal. And in this regard, they to give us a list of animals or symbols that are prohibited, which were written on a sheet of bone paper. And it happened that an elephant was amongst those animals.
If, for the, for the benefit of our listeners, would you mention any other animals that you remember that are prohibited to be used as symbols?
Yes, they say an owl, a secretary bird, as well as a sword. These are some of the symbols that were outlined in that, I mean, paper which they gave to us. But there are more than 10 animals, if I'm not wrong, which we outlined in that paper from ZEC.
How much of a setback is this to your political party?
Yeah, it is a big setback, because first things first, an elephant, we had thought of using an elephant since the day we launched our party in 2014 on the 11th of January, on the basis that an elephant has been a symbol which identifies with the Mtwakazi cause since the time of our kings, King Lobengula. So we had picked an elephant as to identify with the what our people used to to believe in as their symbol or whatever during the time of King Lope Nguna. And as a result of that, we have been doing our campaigns since 10 June 2017 last year, whereby we're going around telling our supporters that whenever there will be some elections, we'll contest in those elections using an elephant as a symbol. We used to say to people, Indlovu ayishesi, meaning to say that an elephant does not betray. As a result of that, our people have been resonating well with our local. So in this issue of now changing our symbol to this one that we have agreed to use for Zeki purposes, which we changed sometime last week, whereby we are now using a shield with a crossed spear and an off carry. Though it's not much of a big impact because people are even saying, no, the shield resonates well with our identity as we are known as people who fought gallantly with the whites using the shield and as well as the spear and the off carry. So you are simply saying that our people had started to resonate well with our elephant as our logo.
When did you become aware that the elephant was one of the prohibited animals?
2 weeks back.
I see.
That's interesting. Anyway, Mr. Moyo, can you please stay on the line? We've got other guests. We have Mr.
Edson Dawana.
Edson Dawana. So you go ahead with
Mr. Dawana, are you there? Mr. Dawana, are you there? I think we've lost Mr. Dawana.
Ah, okay. Yes. So let's go back to me. Are you there, Mr. Dawana? Doesn't look
good. Van Dawana Muripuere.
Tiripo.
Tinotenda of Timaramba Makata Moyo Murefu. Tiba Tiripo Nyaya Tinayo Nasi.
Mamuru Budani Efrense.
Eh?
Chinongo Tedo, I know that Efrense, I am busy
sleeping. I am busy sleeping, Pa Kutichi.
Right. Even this environment, Yakanaka, so good, Panyeti, Torrenton, then can attack by Papa Tinder for my distribution also when is in my opposition. This is also soon as I found the Zaragoza pass. Now it is we are now due for election. Ravutor and your money. My phone is the Epananga Garo pass. Then Tina of the Tanakunga and Chinganza and Taku to Trasakari to the ancient Missing Mapeta Paddy. I know one of those Katagunga. Yes, my phone is very mature, but very mature of Kumuna, Sidi, Mans. Why is one of my papers up in the Papa Rally? But what can you say in the Pangua you to have a message? I've got to say up and up and up and up. When it comes 10 years later, now they want to shut down our
eyes.
We use a shut down our eyes as the Pinika is not a Ranaka, Pinika. Tumbo said this is a good part by speaking to Pinika, it's years of Ranaka, and never Mangua.
I want to talk to Dr. Ndawana, Mr. Gande. Mr. Ndawana is complaining. His complaints are directed at the opposition political parties, whom he is accusing of not addressing the issues concerning the elections on time. He says now they are talking about all these other changes that should have been brought up before the announcement of the election date. What have they been doing? Where have they been? They have not been bringing up these issues. But now, because the time is running out, they start to say there are certain things that they need to be put in proper place. Mm-hmm. So that's his contribution to our discussion.
Oh, no, that's quite right. Interesting. We're supposed to go back to Mr. Mangwana.
Yeah. Mr. Mangwana, can you tell us, can you explain what Mr. Ndawana is complaining about, that the political parties have been silent about whatever changes that they wanted to see taking place before the elections, and only now they are coming to life complaining about certain issues governing the elections. What can you say about that?
All right. Listen, there is always a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes. There is what is called the Zimbabwe Institute, which is a forum where political parties have been meeting with the Zimbabwe. They've been meeting as regularly, sometimes 4 to 6 times a month. From the MDC side, it has always been Mr. Mangwana, amongst others. Then at some point, the political parties, the number of the political parties escalated. And ZEC, for whatever reason, probably using the law or whatever, said now, it can only interact more with the parties that are represented in parliament. So that means Mr. Mule's MDC and Mr. Chamisa, the MPC or whatever, that don't go. So the interactions have continued, and the interfacing has continued. So I think the purpose for that was when they go to parliament now with the electoral reforms, they already have reached their consensus. So whenever they met, if the MPC side, which let me call it the opposite side, had issues they were worried about or they were concerned about, they wanted addressed, they always brought those issues to that platform, and they would be, you know, those issues would be discussed, and they could come on board, the Zambia would also give its views, and they would find each other. Many times, more often than not, they would come out of those meetings always agreed. Now, let's move to the reforms as promulgated in the Amendments Act, in the Electoral Act. Electoral Amendment Act. Minister of Justice, who is responsible for administering that act, wrote to MDC, wrote to Mr. Chamisa, wrote to all other organizations and said, what do you want changed? Can you give us proposals of your amendment? From the last conversation I had with Mr. Ziyambi, Comrade Ziyambi, Chamisa did not come back to him. However, when they went to Parliament, Mr. Gonese did come up, or the Chief Whip, did come up with some proposals. In fact, those proposals were actually attacking or countering what the minister had proposed, which had also come from the interface meetings. Those were debated in Parliament, and those were reforms to agreed on, which were within the law, were passed through. One of the things that was not agreed on is the issue of procurement, where the MDC said it wanted to be involved in choosing who is going to print the ballots. Obviously, the law is procurement law. That is outside the law. There is no law that says parties should be involved in procurement of material, number one. Number two, there are issues that if you do that, then it means you are taking away the independence of ZEC to run the election, because parties are now running the election. ZEC can only reach out to parties and say, yes, some input. But the people that are the ultimate responsible for running the election is ZEC. Regarding the Mr. Ndawana, obviously, he's taken over what the purpose of ZANU-PF's planned demonstration was about. The demonstration was not about ZEC's right. What is the MDC saying ZEC is wrong? No. It was a completely different agenda, but parallel to their agenda, in the sense that the ZANU-PF demonstration march was not even going to ZEC, but it was about an awareness, bringing out an awareness to say we want free and fair elections which are violence free. So it was an awareness to say zero tolerance to violence. It's like people marching against corruption. It's bringing an awareness of people marching against gender violence. It's again bringing an awareness. It's not marching against anybody. So ZANU-PF is not the same. It's not in conflict with the ZAC. Where we had relevant issues, we stand aside and say, oh, we've got issues. They can discuss those with the ZAC. But where ZAC wants us to get some input, we have some input in that matter. And that is through that forum, but one strategy. What the ZAC has never done was to go to its people and say, ZAC is listening to us. ZAC is interfacing with us. ZAC is the open door policy. We want anything we can go and discuss with them. This is where the problem is. Because obviously, we believe the opposite can see clearly that they want to lose an election, and they will try and they try their best to lose an election.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mangwana. Mr. Gandhi?
Yes, Mr. Ncube, we have seen in the last 2 years or so the MDC and other opposition parties said without electoral reforms they are not getting into elections, and they did not get into the by-elections. But now, of course, they are demonstrating tomorrow demanding the some changes in the electoral laws. Now, would you say this was a right move by the opposition not to field any candidates during the by-elections, but only to emerge now? What's your take? Mr. Ncube, are you still there?
Within themselves. One would leave it to their internal structures to figure out whether they were right or wrong. But one has to... My focus will be on the electoral reforms themselves. There is no question that this country needs a lot of electoral reforms. It is a big problem when you have to rely on the political opposition or civil society going to government to complain or to bring up a list of what they want in the electoral reforms that may be coming through an electoral amendment act or bill or that sort of a thing. The government has signed, or at least is aware of international human rights standards, is aware of international electoral standards that are existing either under the framework of the United Nations or the African Union or SADC. There are clear principles, clear guidelines that are contained in those instruments. Saying very clearly what needs to be done to ensure that the election is free and fair, what needs to be done to ensure that the people are able to participate without being inhibited by either government or lack of knowledge about the election itself. So the government is aware of what needs to be done. It cannot rely on, it cannot be a complaints-based exercise that you need somebody to come to you and say, I need this, I need this. We know what a free and fair, credible and transparent election looks like. It requires that all the people of Zimbabwe, regardless of where they are located in the world, are able to cast their vote. Not just those that are in diplomatic missions, security missions in the United Nations and so forth. Every person who is qualified to vote must be afforded an opportunity to vote. Political parties must be treated equally by the media, both print and electronic. The state itself has to behave in a neutral way. I'm talking about the police, the intelligence people, the military. They must never take sides with political parties. They must just be neutral and allow the people of Zimbabwe to elect the people that they want. Also, what is important is there has to be transparency in the procurement of those materials that are going to be used.
Mr. Ncube, unfortunately, we have run out of time. We are going to call you again in the next few days. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And we also would like to thank Mr. Nick Mangwana, ZANU-PF. Official in the United Kingdom. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Let's keep in touch.
And I'm Tanono Kawande. We hope to see you again in the next edition of Life Talk. For now, goodbye and good night.